This is World Update from the BBC World Service. A woman in rural England who spent weeks waiting for her washing machine to be fixed held a repairman hostage for 3 hours last week until the manufacturers promised to get her a new one. Therese Odell of Charlton Mackerel barricaded the engineer's van in her driveway and stood her ground even when the company threatened to call in the cops. We called Mrs. Odell to hear her account of what we will call the showdown at Charlton Mackerel.
I'd actually telephoned these people at the end of May and to say my washing machine was out of order. I initially telephoned where I purchased it from, where I had a guarantee, and they didn't want to know. Told me to ring the manufacturer. I rang the manufacturer, who said, well, no, we now have an after-sales company. So I telephoned the after-sales company, who couldn't give me an appointment for 10 days. So I waited for 10 days, and the engineer didn't turn up. I telephoned them. We made yet another appointment, waited. He didn't turn up. Made another appointment, and all of these days I have to stay in all day because they won't make a particular time of day.
Uh-huh, and the laundry's piling up.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've now been there 5 weeks, and I've got so many piles of washing and no engineer, and I'm sitting in and sitting in. He turned up and said, it's broken. Yes, I know. But we don't carry any spare parts, so we now have to order them. How long? Don't know. But give us a call next week. So I called them the following week, and they were so rude. They said, well, we'll write to you when we've got them. I said, but can't you tell me when you've got them? Because we need to make an appointment.
And the laundry's piling up.
And it's still piling. At this point, I've got 19 loads, minimum. They agreed, after I kicked up a fuss, that they would send someone the following day with the parts, which then miraculously appeared. They came, fitted the parts. I did one wash, and it just mashed up my clothes. Well, that's less to wash. So I telephoned them again, and they couldn't come for another 3 days. They came 3 days later and said, the parts we put in are defective. We've now got to put more spare parts in.
And that's when you snapped.
I snapped, because I said, right, I want to know when. I want to know when they're coming, and I want them to be quickly. No, we can't tell you when they're coming. And I said, well, is it going to be this week, next week? Don't know. So I said, well, I want to speak to someone in your company that can tell me. I cannot go on like this. And they said, no, we won't ring you. I said, I want to speak to somebody. They said they would pass a message on. And I said, well, I suggest you pass it on quickly, because this engineer is not going till I get an answer. He's staying here. 50 minutes later, they telephoned me. I telephoned them again and said, where's the person calling me? We haven't passed the message on yet. I said, why? And they said, we're busy.
Mrs. Odell, in the meantime, if I understand correctly, you actually blocked the engineer's van
in
your driveway.
I did, yeah.
And you locked him in your house.
Yes.
And you refused to release him until
were
promised a new machine.
Exactly. Well, what I wanted was either the part that day, bike down, or I wanted a machine I could use while they were repairing it, or a new machine, which I thought was more than reasonable given the period of time I'd waited.
And how did this repairman take to being held hostage?
Initially, he was bemused and smiling and shocked. Then I think it dawned on him then that I meant it. He wasn't going. He'd got to stay. Mm-hmm. And he just kept saying, can I go? And I said, no, you can't.
Did you at least give him a cup of tea?
I gave him a cup of tea, and I told him he could make one call, which he did to his employers. They telephoned me and pleaded with me and tried to reason with me. I said, no, not until I get an answer.
Were the police brought into this?
Yes, they were. They telephoned the police, who called me and said, you know, was I doing what had been said? And I said, yes, I am. They said, well, you realise you've got to let him go? And I said, nope, not until I get an answer. So if you call this company and ask the company to call me with an answer, then he can go, and not until. So they called the company, and the company telephoned me and said, you've got a new washing machine coming. It arrived the following day, and the men arrived to put it in and didn't bring any tools at all. And before I knew what had happened, they'd used my kitchen knives and bent them trying to put it in. They went away late, leaving my kitchen looking like a disaster zone. And we used it, used one wash, and it broke down again. Only this time it flooded the kitchen.
So this was a Pyrrhic victory, as they say.
Exactly.
Where do you stand now? Do you actually possess a washing machine?
A
functioning washing machine?
Yes, I'm on my third one now.
But you only had to take a repairman hostage once.
I only had to hold him hostage once, yes.
Now, I want to beg the indulgence of my listeners here, because for millions of World Service listeners, owning a washing machine at all is an impossible dream. That said, for those prosperous enough to be able to take washing machines for granted, You do describe an all-too-familiar nightmare. Do you advise other frustrated consumers to follow your example?
I shouldn't, but yes, I do. Because I think it's only we're paying for a service and we're not getting it. And until we stand up for ourselves and say, no, we want what we've paid for, we will get the service that we deserve.
Thérèse Odell, speaking to me from the village of Charlton Mackerel in Somerset, England.